just wasn't good.
Say a few words. May I ask a question?
Which of you are poor today? Please raise your hand. Not too many, at least one. We're all rich today. All right, so what are you going to do? Which one of you is going through tribulation? So how do you apply this epistle to your Christian life and to your church life? What is a more challenging situation, to be poor or to be rich? To be rich is more challenging. So do you prefer to be poor or rich? In our situation today, no one is considered poor. Are you poor or are you rich?
Maybe rich.
You're right. Nobody can say that he's poor. Right. What about tribulation? How much tribulation have you gone through, Juchan?
Not too much.
Oh, not too much. So the epistle to the church in Smyrna doesn't apply to you, right? So how is it going to apply to you, Timo? Right. It is actually more dangerous and more challenging to be in our situation today. It's easy to leave everything and to turn to the Lord and to pray, Lord, help me and save me. But if you're rich, it's very difficult. It's more challenging. It's more dangerous. It's harder. Really harder. Don't think today we are in a good situation today. I think all of us are in pretty good situation, right? Nehemiah? Or are you really homeless and sleeping with the children on the street there? None of us are in that condition, so how do you apply that? Right. And it's what you read in the last verses in Philippians. Paul has learned, right, to abound or to be poor, to be in need. Right. I think if we are poor, it is easier to turn to the Lord. If you're rich, you have a hard time to overcome. You think everything is okay. You're comfortable. Right. And that is a greater temptation to us believers today than to be poor and have lack. You need to see this. You need to see this. We are in a greater danger in our rich situation today. It's easy to talk about it, right? But it's more tempting and it's harder to overcome if you are rich. But whether we are rich or poor, you need to learn to live Christ. For Paul, it makes no difference. And that's hard. That's hard. Right. It is really much harder. So learn in this situation to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, what am I going to do with my riches, with what I have? Yeah. If you ask the Lord what you have to do and what you're going to do with what you have. Show me what to do. What if you have a big bank account and the Lord comes and everything is gone? So the Lord taught us, right, to be wise, how to use the mammon of unrighteousness to help you to enter into the kingdom. Right, how to use it wisely is very difficult. It's not easy. It's not simple. I don't mean you give it to make all the pastors rich. No, forget about it. No, but you have to look to the Lord and ask for wisdom. Lord, what should I do? What should I do with it to help me enter into the kingdom? Right? You remember the Lord commended that unrighteous steward. Many people ask me, why does the Lord praise that unrighteous steward? I said, no, he's not praising his unrighteousness. He's not, commending you to be like him. But what the Lord was commending is how to prepare for the Lord's coming, especially with what you have. You have to be wise. It's easy to have nothing. It's very difficult if you are rich. You don't know what to do with it. And you're using it for yourself, for your enjoyment. Right. It's harder. It really is harder. It really is more challenging. It's hard to see a rich person to be also rich in God. Right. You're right. To the church in Laodicea, they think they were rich, but the Lord says, no, you're poor. But here, they are poor, but the Lord says, you're rich. Rich in what? Rich in God. It's easier for a poor man to turn to the Lord and to trust his life in God. But if you're so rich, you don't need to trust in God. You have everything you need. Are you worried about what you're going to eat next week or tomorrow? You want more. Right. So we have to see that to be rich is dangerous. And yet, on the other hand, it is an opportunity for you to use what the Lord has given you for the kingdom's sake. It's not a matter of whether you have or you don't have. It's a matter of living through Christ. If you have, you have a lot of opportunity to do something for the Lord. But you need wisdom from above. But if you're poor, it's also a blessing. Then you'll not be distracted, because riches is a big distraction. Yeah. It's hard for the heart of man to resist riches. Suppose somebody's going to give you $1 million. What are you going to do? No, I want to be poor. I don't think anybody would say that. I don't think so, because we all have covetousness. Don't think you don't. And the richer you are, the more covetous you become. Right. So learn. Paul said something in 1 Corinthians concerning those who are married and those who are unmarried. What did he say to those who are married? As if they were not. Right. Why? So that you can give your whole life to the Lord. You can gain the Lord and serve God. So what you have, it does not matter if you have or not, but it depends on your heart. Use it for God's kingdom. Use it for the Lord's plan. And the Lord says, use it to gain friends, so that when the kingdom comes, those friends will be your witnesses. I was in need, and George helped me. They will speak for you. Yeah. You will add points to the kingdom. Isn't that good? Right? If you don't have enough points, your friends that got your help through your wealth and through your money or whatever, they will stand up, Lord. I got much help from George. Right. This is what the Lord says. Use the mammon of unrighteousness to make friends. To use it. Not just for your own enjoyment and to be comfortable. And why should we be so comfortable? Oh, we need to have perfect this. We need to have a perfect that. We need renovation. I need to add another story. And what? Never-ending story. Because of the covetousness in your heart. Covetousness is idolatry. If you're poor, you'll be saved at least easier than someone who's rich. But if you're rich, learn to live like a poor man through Christ. Those who have, as if they have not. Those who have not, as if they have everything they need. Right. And then on the other hand, to suffer in persecution. Have you ever suffered persecution? Oh. Anybody ever called you, you're a leprous person? Rebellious. Get out of here. Cut you off. Have you ever suffered like that? Kicked you out? No. You like to be like that? You don't like to be like that. To be rejected? Right? To be laughed at among your friends? Right? So if you testify for the Lord and not afraid of being ridiculed, but to testify for the Lord, speaking the truth, whether at work or everywhere, you're testifying for the Lord, definitely you will suffer persecution. Yes. People will look down on you. People will not be happy with you. You might even lose your job. Right? You might even lose your job. But so what? You gain the kingdom. So, be faithful to the end, even if people will reject you. Well, why not? Doesn't really matter. Don't be angry. Don't feel sad. Don't be mad. Don't try to defend yourself. No need for that. Right? I think some saints can give a good testimony. Right? Somebody wrote in the office a terrible letter about you, which is all lies. But praise the Lord. You turn to the Lord. Right? And use it for the Lord's testimony. Yeah? The Lord will take care of you. That's a wonderful experience. Yeah. Instead of reacting, arguing, fighting. There are many ways to suffer. It doesn't mean that you suffer persecution. Nobody's going to kill you today because you're a Christian. But at work, if you stood very firm to preach the gospel, to tell the truth to the people, you will experience suffering. And suffering is good and healthy for us Christians. Speaking the truth is always a good thing. To live a holy and godly life. What did Paul say? If you live a godly life, anyone who wants to live a godly life will suffer persecution. But if you live a life that is pleasing to everybody and you adapt to the whole atmosphere at your work, right, then you will not suffer persecution. You agree to everything and you don't like to speak out. And at least speak the truth to help them, to save them, to testify to these people. Right. It is a kind of a suffering. Yeah, it is to speak the truth. Faithful means you speak the truth and you live it out. As long as you're a living witness for the Lord, a lot of people won't like you, but it doesn't matter. The Lord likes you. As long as He accepts you, that's good enough. Whatever people say about you, learn this. Because what other kind of sufferings are you going to go through today as a Christian? Are you suffering? You cannot think of anything, right? You're suffering. But praise the Lord. You don't need to ask for tribulation. But even at home, if somebody spoke something against you, or immediately you and I will react. That means you missed the opportunity to go through some tribulation. You react. Yeah. Somebody misunderstood you, you react. If your wife said something to you, you react. If your husband says something to you, you react. You disagree, you explode it like the volcano, like a volcano, right? A little explosion, perhaps not that big. Otherwise, you'll explode, your head will explode. That little kind of sufferings and tribulation, you cannot even withstand. You have to let it out. You have to react. You have to defend yourself. But that means you cannot suffer tribulation. Right. And I don't really mean you should just swallow it and then it explode inside, not outside, but it's still an explosion. But to take the Lord, Lord, I have been crucified with you. I died with you. And this is why the Lord, in all these sufferings, He revealed Himself as the one who died and you rose again. You're afraid to die? I don't think John would have afraid to die because he saw the Lord rose again. So, okay, kill me. And the third day I'm going to rise again too. I'm not going to die forever. Our Lord Jesus rose again. Right? Tribulation is not the last. The last is the reward, the wonderful reward. Right? The Lord says, I died. But now I am alive forevermore. And He says that especially to those who are suffering. Are you afraid of suffering? Can you stand suffering? Right. I think some of us have went through a lot of sufferings before. Not that people want to kill you or you know to be a martyr, but yeah. But we learn a lot. We gained a lot. Yes, we gained a lot. So, may the Lord have mercy on us. Amen. We all have to learn. Otherwise, you would think Smyrna doesn't apply to me, to you, and to any one of us. Right? It's not just a doctrine. And of course, we have a lot of things to say about this. Right? But praise the Lord, if suffering is a part of our Christian life and a way to enter into the kingdom, then learn to suffer in little things. Nobody's going to kill you. You cannot be a martyr. But in little ways, at home, at work, everywhere, Even when you are by yourself, you want to do something nobody sees and you want to do, you cannot even say no. It is a suffering to say, no, I'm not going to do it. You resist the devil. You resist the flesh. It is a suffering to say no to the enemy, to say no to the flesh, and that's to deny your soul life. Learn this. We suffer today in little things. In little things. So it doesn't matter whether you have a lot of things, you have nothing, it doesn't matter. You want to gain Christ. But in my experience, it is more difficult to go through this situation if you're rich. And the Lord did say, right? It's harder for a poor man to enter. For a rich man. He didn't say it's impossible, but he says it's harder. So is it easier to be rich or harder to be rich? Or to be poor? Suppose the Lord gives you a choice today. You just give a message, so I'm going to ask you. What do you prefer?
I will play the last book of Psalm. Not too poor.
You see, he says, I know a lot of people say that. Not too poor because it's not a glory to God, and not too rich because you will deny him. So, Lord, not poor and not rich. That's his choice. Praise the Lord.